We have three public hearings tonight. First two are at 5:30, and the second one is at 7, so we will actually stop our business, our legislative meeting, at 7 for the public hearing. But I'll call to order our first public hearing, which is proposed Local Law A of 2009, amending Section 110-2 and Section 110-7 of the County Code to increase the surcharge on local telephone exchange access lines in the county from 35 cents to $1. Is there anyone here to speak on that issue? Hearing none, I will close that public hearing. I will open the next public hearing, 2010, New York State Department of Housing, Community Renewal, Community Development Block Grant Program, focusing on county needs and priorities and possible community development projects. Is there anyone here to speak on that matter? Please, give us a little background.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jean McDuffin of the County Planning Department. Just wanted to take a couple minutes to describe to you the CDBG, or Community Development Block Grant funding, that we have available to us. This funding, the CDBG program, is a federally funded program. Here in New York State, it runs through the Office of Community Renewal. We have about $50 million is available through this program. And for the county, we can apply up to $750,000 for projects that deal with housing, public infrastructure, and public facilities. So eligible activities, and I'll just give you the laundry list, is rehab, reconstruction, and construction of buildings, including housing, economic development, public facilities and improvements, homeownership assistance, new housing construction, and microenterprise assistance. So tonight we're here just to discuss the general housing, public facilities, and economic development needs that we may have in the county.
Thank you. Any questions for team? Don't see any public here to speak, so I will close that public hearing. And then I'll call our regular full legislative meeting to order and ask you to rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Could we have a roll call of members, please?
Mr. Burbank?
I'm here.
Ms. Chalk?
I'm here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Mr. Hattery?
Here.
Ms. Herrera has asked to be excused. Ms. Keeper?
Present.
Ms. McAsey?
Here.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Mr. Randall has also asked to be excused. Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa will be arriving later this evening. Mr. Sigler?
Here.
Mr. Stevenson?
Present.
Mr. Klinkelaer?
Present.
12 members present.
Petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
We've got no special orders of the day, so we'll move to privilege of the floor for the public. Is there anyone here who wishes to speak?
Nope.
Your privilege of the floor. Okay, if there's not, we'll move to privilege of the floor for county legislators. Oh, I see we have one person to speak. Please state your name and where you live.
My name's Bill Chasen. I'm from the Ithaca Times, although I live in Trumansburg. A certain legislator named Frank Proto was voted most effective Tompkins County legislator. And we have this stunning plaque to award you, sir.
You're embarrassing me, Bill.
That's a different idea.
I think
the privilege
blushing.
Of the floor is for.
Do I look it?
So,
man,
okay.
I'll sure. Be back here.
Or should I just?
No,
just. Was it most effective at what?
At getting out voters.
Yeah. All right.
It's been a phone.
Come on, Thanks for joining us, Bill. We'll move on to privilege of the floor for legislators. Jim Dennis.
Thank you, Michael. I just want to remind you all, November 14th is Banner Reading Partnership big event at Boynton Junior High School. There are over 200 locations in the county where you can pick up a poem and take a look at it in every store and practically every place of commerce you can find. And we had our poet here last month, and I was supposed to bring a poem tonight, and I just can't come up with one off the top of my head. But at any rate, it's an event that's going on, and it's all about poetry, and there seems to be a big response to it. And thank you for letting me say this.
Thank you. Frank Proto.
Thank you, Mike. While all the races aren't settled yet, I think some of us, and I think the public in particular, is glad this election season is somewhat over. But it'll be interesting to see how things sift out for the next 4 years, for us anyway. It's going to be interesting with some new faces on the board. I wanted to let you know about a piece of correspondence that I had from my favorite utility, NYSEG. If ever you have a problem where they have equipment that's failed and that you're entitled to a refund, be careful about what you sign or what they send you to sign, because in order to release them, it's really, you need an attorney to interpret it. It's my consumer minute. The other piece is to stay tuned on the rate increase that they've asked for. I made that announcement at the last meeting, and I think that we need to do something. And if you recall, I wanted to bring something through Nathan's Government Operations Committee to actually get it to the board level, where the rate increase that they're asking for is inappropriate because of the arrangement they made when they were bought out by Arbudola, that they would not ask for a rate increase until they had settled the arrangement on hiring more help to be more effective during emergencies. Remember that debacle we had with the ice storm. The last item I have is to remind you that Sunday is the Veterans Day Parade. And those of us that usually march should form up by Pritchard's, but State Street will be taken over. It's this Sunday. And next Wednesday, the 11th, is the memorial service in the park at 11 o'clock in the morning. And, of course, if any of you can make it, that would be great, to either one of them or both. And I think there might be some events going on in some of your districts, too. If anybody knows of any, let us know, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Martha Robertson.
Thank you, Mike. I want to just pick up on the election theme. Congratulate all the candidates who ran and lost or won, but everybody who ran really provided a public service to all of us and to the citizens. And in particular to the election inspectors, when we say polls are open till from 6 a.m. to 9, that means somebody's there before 6 and after 9, including Kevin Sutherland, a rookie this yesterday. And it's such an important and hard job. I asked Steve DeWitt, heard a number of folks say, well, I'm a new election inspector, with a little bit of pride, and it was really exciting. They had 30 to 35 inspectors who worked for the first time this year. Some people are always retiring. Some have worked for as long as 20 or 30 years. So even though they've had, you know, an influx of new folks, they still need more inspectors. And their number is 274-5522 if anybody's interested and willing to serve. We all depend on your service, so thank you. Maybe sort of good news. The DEC announced today that the public comment period on Marcella Shale on the VSGEIS was extended for 30 days till December 31st. That's nice, but it's really not enough. Tompkins County Council of Governments passed a resolution asking for that to be extended till January 30th, and others have called for a 180-day extension. I hope maybe we can get it pushed another month or so. I think this there's sort of every day there's more interest and more news stories about this, and I think we really, I'm glad that it's been extended, but I think we still would need more time. The public needs more time to really delve into the issues. Related to that, the Council of Governments is having two meetings about gas drilling. The first one is this Thursday, 7 o'clock at the Unitarian Church. Ed Marks is one of the speakers, along with David Kay from CARDI and Helen Slotchy, a public interest attorney. They'll be talking about sort of helping us understand what's in this 800-page document. And I'm not sure why Ed is here. He should be doing his homework, you know, on this. So. Anyway, so that's this Thursday at the Unitarian Church at 7. And 2 weeks later, November 19th at 7 at the State Theater, we will hold a public hearing. DEC is having a few public hearings around the state. The Council of Governments is having its own. And we invite everybody, anybody who has something to comment on, to bring written comments and also verbal statements to make on November 19th. Thank you.
Any other legislators wish to speak on the privilege of the floor? Quickly, Frank?
Yeah, this will be quick. Seriously, I would certainly like to thank Bill and the Ithaca Times and whoever supported this. This was quite a surprise about the most effective legislator in Tompkins County.
Are we ready to move on?
At what, Frank?
I don't see any municipal officials here.
The list is too long to mention, Carol.
To report. I have no report under chair's report, no chair's appointments. Move on to report from county administrator.
I don't have a report tonight. I do want to, I guess, kind of put everybody on notice. After the next meeting, I think we'd like an executive session. All of our union contracts will be expired by the end of this year. We need to start thinking about negotiating parameters for future years, so I will be asking for an executive session after our next meeting, but not tonight.
All right. There's no questions. We'll move on to our county attorney, Jonathan Wood.
Excuse me. I have no report as well.
Thanks, Jonathan. And David Squires, finance director.
No report.
Move on to any resolutions to be added to or withdrawn from the agenda. Martha?
Are we going to have to stay until 7 o'clock for the public hearing? Just check.
Take a break. Seeing no resolutions to be added or withdrawn, we don't actually have a consent agenda, so we're going to move on to our first committee report. Facilities and Infrastructure Committee. Leslie McBean, Claiborne Chair.
We haven't met. It was the last legislature meeting. We will be meeting at some point this month, I think. Okay, we will be meeting soon. But I do have a resolution on the agenda. We addressed this resolution at the expanded budget committee meeting, and it's now here at the full legislature. It is Resolution A, establishing a unit charge for the 2010 solid waste annual fee. It will be, I'll wait for a second.
Do you leave the keeper seconds? Thank you.
Just for clarification, more information for all our constituents and the viewing public. The fee will be going from $54 to $56, which is $2 more than the 2009 annual fee. So just so people know, it will be $56 is what this resolution is proposing.
Is there discussion? Are we ready to vote? All in favor of Resolution A as moved? And are there any opposed? That passes with two opposed.
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
If there's no further questions for Leslie, we'll move on to our Government Performance and Workforce Relations Committee. Do we have Dooley Keefe prepared to report as Vice Chair?
Sure, yes. Well, we met just before this meeting and acted on what is Resolution B, which I would like to introduce. It's memorializing New York State to authorize Tompkins County to impose a 25-cent per $100 mortgage recording tax on obligations secured by a mortgage on real property.
Is there a second? Jim Dennis seconds. Is there discussion? Frank Proto?
I have a couple of questions. I keep calling the other fee by the wrong name, but is it a transfer tax? Will there be a commensurate reduction in the transfer tax if this passes?
Not presently in our budget.
Secondly, I think all of you received the same email I did from Edie Spaulding with a backup of the information about what it costs to live in this state and the number of people that are leaving because of the variety of taxes. I commend Joe for looking for different ways to fund our services, but we've all heard, and we've heard right on this floor from so many people about the fees, and we're trying to put together a little bit of the pushback effort on this to the state. Some of you have read about the license plate costs and whatnot, and there's a movement among the state senators to take that on. I wish there was another way that we could fund our budget other than by raising fees like this, because this is another cost of owning a home, and sometimes we waive mortgage recording taxes and sometimes we don't, but this is going to fall solidly on anyone that's buying a home. And I'm Joe, with all due respect, that I don't intend to support this, particularly because of the we're avoiding dropping the other piece, the transfer tax.
Julie Keeper.
At the joint meeting of the Budget Committee and Government Committee, there were some minor wording changes which I'd like to read. But before I do that, I wonder if the county administrator might explain more about this for the public.
Sure. Joe, do you have a summary?
Sure, I can do it. First of all, for perspective, the reason that we've recommended implementing this tax, I think everyone recalls, is a part of a balanced approach to a $4.8 million budget shortfall that we were dealing with this year. And the idea of a recurring revenue, the mortgage recording tax, is a central part of a balanced approach to dealing with that budget gap. It allows us to diversify our revenue stream that's currently dominated by the property tax and the sales tax. And the alternative to this tax, if we weren't to raise the $1 million through the mortgage recording tax, the alternative to that is a 2.7% increase in our property tax levy. I think most of us would agree that this is a preferred way of raising that $1 million as opposed to a 2.7% increase in property taxes. I think it's important to point out also that this will not put our county at a competitive disadvantage with other counties, that currently this 0.25% increase that's been proposed would raise our mortgage recording tax rate to 1%. Currently, there are 45 other counties in New York State that have a mortgage recording tax rate of 1% or above. And there are 23 other counties that have implemented this 0.25% tax to generate revenues for county purposes. So in terms of creating a competitive disadvantage in our county relative to other counties, we've looked at that, and that will not be the case. In fact, I understand through NYSAC that there are 5 other counties right now considering doing exactly what we're doing, is to lift this by 0.25%. So again, it's really a matter of trying to approach a budget challenge in a very balanced way through both revenues and expenditures, and believing that this sustained revenue is important to the that overall fiscal balance for the county.
Thank you.
And Dooley, some changes?
The wording changes in the first whereas, the second line, which becomes that. The third
the word
line,
which becomes that,
yes,
okay.
In the third line, the word claiming becomes thus requiring.
Thus requiring,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
And in the third whereas, third line, I'll just read the from the word avoid thereon. It'll get rid of the word unduly. Avoid adding to the already high burden of local property tax. That phrase is slightly modified. And finally, where it says in the in the seventh whereas, it refers to 20 counties within New York State and the City of New York have implemented the additional local tax rate. It should be 23 counties, not 20.
Are those friendly, Jim, those changes?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so those, that's now the resolution before us. Will?
And then we're on language. Could somebody please explain the use of the word memorializing in this context? The resolution is titled Memorializing New York State to Authorize Tompkins County to Impose This Fee.
Joe?
Asking, pleading.
It's
a quaint term.
Yeah, it is a term that's recognized by New York State. It is we are asking New York State to authorize this county to implement this tax. So we need the state's authority to increase this tax before we do it. This, so you know, will be followed by, if the state agrees to do this, the state will give us bill language. You'll be asked to pass a home rule resolution that supports that specific language, and then finally to enact this tax. So this is the first step in a process.
Thank you, Joe.
Any other questions, Mike Hattery?
I have one question, then I want to make a comment. I've had opportunities to raise this in committee, and I have neglected it. Is there a possibility that we could sunset this?
I can respond to that.
Sure.
I think you can choose, the legislature can choose whenever it likes to terminate this tax. So I would suggest that as we ask the state for the authority to raise the tax by 0.25%, that not include any sunset language, because we really want the ability to make that decision locally. Should the legislature at some point in time decide that we don't need that revenue or would prefer to raise money in another way, you could always terminate the tax at that time.
So you're saying you don't want to do this because you think it might muck up the request?
Yeah, I think, if I may,
yes.
I think you'd like to make this a matter of local control and decision making. That's really what we want from the state right now. Let us make a decision about this revenue.
And Mike, you want to comment?
Yeah. I view this as something that ought to sunset if it isn't. I mean, I clearly believe that, you know, we've been talking about this as a means of relieving additional pressure on the real property tax for regular taxpayers. I realize it will create increased friction and cost for those who are buying and or remortgaging their property. On the other hand, I think it's a reasonable alternative if we view it as a sunset. And, you know, I understand why we might not want to request that. The only problem with that is that things that don't get sunsetted when they're passed tend never to be lifted. I view it as something that should be taken off when we're out of the woods with the current fiscal crisis.
Thanks, Mike. Jim Dennis?
No.
Okay. Martha?
I'm going to support this. I think it is painful, as you've said, Frank, and others have said. And but I really appreciate the idea of diversifying the revenue stream. And I especially appreciate Joe and your staff's effort to not fill our budget gap with kind of one-time things that then would come back to haunt us. I mean, the idea that, you know, I think our last budget discussion, when we sort of identified that line in the budget where we usually look at what are we using from the fund balance to drop our levy, the number was similar, but you explained that it was literally going to be replaced by the intention was that it would be replaced by ongoing money, not just from the fund balance. And I think that's, all things considered, a much more responsible way to do this. So I appreciate that. And I would also, and I don't know if this needs to be in the language, but I'd also point out, looking at the second to last whereas, where it talks about raising, the alternative would be to raise property taxes by up to 2.7%. Obviously, another alternative would be to cut spending additionally farther than we have. And my arithmetic, according to Norma was able to return my call today to confirm the number we're really using for the 2010 budget. On average, 50,000 covers one FTE, including fringe, per person. So that would mean cutting 18 to 20 employees. If we weren't going to do this and didn't want to raise the property tax, we're really looking at cutting that many staff. So that's obviously another alternative if we didn't pass this. So I think it's time to just to go ahead and do this. We may be looking at more cuts next year, but I appreciate having this option.
Any further discussion? This is our request to the state. Give us the authority, then we'll have two other steps we have to follow. All in favor of Resolution B as has been amended? And those who are against? That passes with one against. Thank you, Dooley. On to C.
Resolution C, approving revisions and abolishing policies and procedures of the Tompkins County Government Administrative Policy Manual. I move that.
And Leslin seconds. Is there a discussion? Carol Chalk?
Yeah. On this first one, I went and tried to look at what the changes were from the former policy, and I couldn't find them. Is it just a matter of the title and this one underline dating the hyperlink?
No.
Oh, okay. I just want to, I mean, I don't have any problems with it. I'll vote for it, but I just like to ask that in the future when we get these, that we get the copy that has the what's being changed.
That's what the committee works with, so yeah.
That's a reasonable request. That is where I went.
Okay, we've got two policies. One's a policy deletion. Are ready to vote?
Well, I thought I maybe should read the titles of the policies. The one Carol's referring to is called Capital Project Development and Management. And Jim?
Oh, no, go ahead.
And the policy for deletion?
The policy for deletion is called Meetings Outside Normally Scheduled Working Hours, where the subject matter is addressed elsewhere. I also, no, that's all.
Okay, so I have Jim and then Carol again.
I'm going to support this, but only after I ask the county's most effective legislator if he knows what enter hypertext link to the PAR form. If you can tell me the answer to that in 25 words or less.
We can keep the plaque.
What you need is you need the wording for the hyperlink, and that's where you insert it so that when you want to click on, you're able to click on.
And you play par golf.
Makes sense to me. And play par golf.
Right. But I'd like to ask a serious question.
Well, I think I have Carol next in.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh.
Go ahead, Carol.
No, I'm sorry. I meant to ask, in addition to the underlined copy, what I did find was the impact review summary. And it was on the basis of the impact review summary in the minutes of the committee meeting that I am willing to vote for it, even though it didn't seem to have the underlined copy. So when we get these in the future,
Okay. Could
we please include the impact review summary?
Yes.
Too?
Okay.
Thank you.
On to Frank.
Dooley, can you, Jim, if you go to the definitions part of the first, the capital project development one, it tells you what a PAR, the PAR stands for.
Okay.
You should, anyway.
It's not about me, Frank.
Teachers have taught me to read this type of thing. Dooley, the policy that we're talking about deleting, is there another policy that we're substituting eventually for this about employees and attendance at meetings?
Not per se. If maybe Paula would like to speak to this.
I mean, is there a reason, can you describe why we're proposing to delete that particular policy?
This is just another example of why we'll make sure that the impact review summary gets into your folders, because we did provide that detail to the standing committee. And in fact, our research shows that we actually have four policies already in effect that cover a lot of the information that's being deleted from this particular policy. We also realize that there's just some tweaking of some language of some of the existing policy to make sure that as the saying goes, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. But this information is covered in four other policies, and it was just a matter of being redundant.
Thank you. That's good. But there is a write-up somewhere, Paula, that exists?
It's in the impact statement that Carol referred to. And Carol just lent me her copy, and it mentions policy 0404, work week and work shift, policy 0402, overtime compensation and compensatory time off, 0103, travel training authorization.
Well, are those things only available to the standing committee?
No, they're available online, I think.
Is that the hyperlink, Jim?
Yeah. I'm sure it's in your inbox.
Are we ready to vote on Resolution C with those two policy changes? All in favor?
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you very much. On to Resolution D.
Resolution D, adoption of revised policy 0609, facilities management and workplace environment. I really would like to ask someone else to introduce this because I'll be voting against it.
Okay, actually Nathan is now here, so maybe Nathan, when he gets settled in a second, can move Resolution D.
When I get settled, do what?
Could you move Resolution D, adoption of revised policy 0609, facilities management and workplace environment.
I'll move.
All right, Mike Hatter moves it, and Jim Dennis seconds. Okay. Julie Keith.
In this resolution, there was supposed to have been suggested some language in the first whereas that makes it a little clearer what improving manual currency means, because currency has two meanings and some people felt confused by it. So, Nathan, I'd like to suggest for you that it say it updates to the county administrative manual, and to have the manual 50% updated by the end of 2009. That was the goal.
Yeah.
Okay, so that makes
Is that
it
friendly to Mike and Jim, mover and seconder? 50% updated, does that work for you?
Yes, well, that was the goal.
I'm asking the mover and seconder, actually.
Yes.
It's a restatement of the goal.
Okay, that's
and,
great.
And I'd like to explain why I oppose
sure.
this. I think it's much clearer and very well crafted. I object strongly to one part of it, which Ed Marks has heard me say many times. It has to do with item 6, building temperature settings, and there apparently the equipment that we have gotten locked into doesn't work well if you don't keep it pretty darn cool in the summer. And so from what our old policy set it at, which was 78 plus, the summer temperature is to fall within the range of 72 to 76 degrees, which I think is working against our policy of fighting global warming by reducing greenhouse gas emissions by using less electricity. And I was interested to see in my bill insert from New York State Electric and Gas, Frank, that their hints this summer for setting your air conditioner at home is don't set it any lower than 75 to 79. Don't set it any lower than, 78 degrees or 79 degrees. So if their bill insert said that, and that's what they're recommending, it seems really strange to me to have our county cooling things more than I think we should. The contrast with outside temperature is too great. So I'll be voting against it just for that reason. Everything else is really well written.
Okay, thank you very much. Mike Hatter.
Yeah, right here I would like to insert a very defensible argument by Arell. But he's not here to make it.
Okay.
He did a very good job making it.
Yeah, a great job in committee.
It's the equipment that we are locked
All right.
In.
So any further discussion on this policy and Resolution D, which would adopt the policy? Are we ready to vote? All in favor?
Yes.
And opposed? That passes with one opposed. Thank you very much. Duly, I think Government Performance Workforce Relations Committee is done. Okay, we'll move on to Planning, Development, Environmental Quality Committee. Pam McAsee, Chair.
We have not met since our last meeting, and our next meeting is scheduled for next week on November 12th at 3:15.
3:15. That's a special date, correct?
Yes, it's a special date.
Yeah, okay. Budget, Capital, and Finance Committee. Jim Dennis, Chair.
Thank you. We have a meeting Monday afternoon, and I think 3:30, right? Yeah. I just want to say to all of you, thank you very much for your attendance and input during the budget process, and I'm sure that county residents will be appreciative of whatever we do.
Thank you. If I could draw legislators' attention to the budget process, if you want to make member-filed amendments, you have until Tuesday, 5:00 for our November 17th vote. Otherwise, you can make amendments on the floor to the resolution that's going forward from committee.
Thank you. I have that here, Mike. Thanks for doing that.
Great. Okay, if there's no further questions, we'll move on to our Public Safety Committee. Martha Robertson, Chair.
Thank you, Mike. We have not met since the last legislature meeting, but I do have one resolution. Our next meeting is November 16th, Monday at 2:30. So, I have adoption, Resolution E, adoption of Local Law Number A of 2009, amending Section 110-2 and Section 110-7 of the County Code to increase the surcharge on local telephone exchange access lines in the county from 35 cents to $1, and I so move.
Is there a second? Jim Dennis seconds. Is there discussion? Carol Chunk and Dooley?
I think I voted for this in the original committee to get it out of committee. I can't support this resolution. I don't think you can get more basic than a landline these days in terms of people's expenses. And I really do believe, after a lot of soul searching, that this charge is inequitable, unfairly distributed in terms of who will pay and who gets exempted. I understand that there is some detailed and complex reason for the particular inequities that are built into the system that we discovered along the way as we explored how this would work, that we couldn't overcome, and that we need the money. But the fact remains that people who don't have the wherewithal will bear the burden, who don't have the wherewithal to get rid of their landlines and just use their cell phones or make calls somewhere else, are the ones who are going to bear the burden of this. The other fee we voted on tonight can at least be worked into, the payment of that can at least be worked into people's mortgages, and spread over from these difficult years into better years, hopefully, that will be coming. And I just believe there are other more appropriate avenues that we should choose to raise these particular funds. So I understand that we explored, I understand why we explored this method of raising funds, but I just don't like the way the details played out. I don't believe this is the right way to pay, and I just can't vote for it.
Okay, thank you.
Do we explain that?
Do we keep her?
Pass.
I have Mike Hattery, then Jim, then Nathan.
I just wondered if someone could comment on the loss of revenue that urged us, that moved us to go to this surcharge.
I think Jim was going to comment on that, so I'll go to Jim.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. The reason we're doing this is because we were counting on, in our budget, SWEN money that disappeared along with SWEN, I believe. And
State Wireless Network.
Yeah, the State Wireless Network. And it was roughly a $400,000 revenue source for us, and that's not going to happen. So I think we pretty much had to do something along these lines. I agree that there may be some inequities, but I think we have a $20 million 911 system that we have to pay for, and we have to look for ways to do that. There is still the money being held by the state from cell phones, and I think we have to do our best to see what we can do to shake loose some of that money from New York State, not only to this county, but other counties who are involved in 911 expansion. So that's why I'm voting for it, at least those two.
Thank you. On to Nathan.
Oh. Just as a quick follow-up. So the point is, this is a replacement for a withdrawal of state revenue that
right.
we support.
Right. Absolutely.
Nathan, sorry, and I have Frank and Dooley after that.
I was going to just make that point. So
okay.
Sorry. No, it's okay.
And Frank Proto.
Thanks, Mike. First, to pick up on something Carol said, we have a shrinking number of landline phones in this county because a number of people have gone to cell phones. For whatever reason, we're not receiving the revenue from the state on the fee from the cell phones. That's something that I think we have to duke out with the state at some point, and I'm sure we're not the only county that's not getting that revenue. However, a lot of us that live in the country don't have an option. And I know Carol was referring to the folks that are less fortunate, but that applies to a lot of people, that not only the less fortunate, that applies to anyone who needs communication. There isn't an option to use a cell phone because we still have a lot of dead space in this county, and you can't use a cell phone in certain places. So you have a shrinking base of people that are capable of paying for it, that are going to cell phone usage, probably in areas where they have more cell phone service. And the burden is falling on the shrinking but necessary areas where you don't have an option. No surprise, again, if there is ever a fee that needs to have Mike Cattery's sunset provision put in it, it ought to be this one. I made the same comment at the Budget Committee meeting that Jim made about the reason for needing this. But I'd like to bring you back to my all-time favorite, the Universal Fund. We are already paying into a kitty to provide certain services. And a lot of those services fall to our departments and fall to services and agencies in the community. The reason that I'd like to see us put a sunset on this is that then we can ramp up the effort, and I was talking to Joe about this last week, ramp up the effort to actually get our fair share of the, what is it now, Karen, $8 to $10 billion a year that's collected in the Universal Fund, and our residents are already paying this fee. This is, to me, is an unfair, if there was ever one that was the reverse, where people that are ill, I guess, they're not able to pay it, this is the one. And I don't know, if this is something we're requesting, Joe, is this one we can put a sunset on?
Joe, go ahead.
May I respond?
Sure.
There is a sunset on this one. It's a 10-year sunset. So we've timed this request of the state and the enactment that you're considering right now. We've timed this to coincide with the payment of the debt on that $20 million communication system. So it will sunset and terminate 10 years from now under the terms of the law being proposed.
Is there any inkling, and maybe Lee is the, with all due respect, Joe, mm-hmm. maybe Lee's the right person to ask this question. Is there any inkling that the state, I realize the state's broke, but we're getting in the habit of tacking on fees, this could be a habit that is hard to break eventually. What's the possibility that they may come back with that SWIN money? I mean, I realize that's a tough one because they're scrambling for every nickel right now, but is there a possibility within this 10-year period that may be reconstituted?
The short answer is yes. I think there's a very strong possibility. The question is when that will occur because of the state's budgetary problems. And I can give you just a little bit on that. There's a very strong effort among public safety organizations at the statewide level. NYSAC has become involved in this discussion as well. And what has happened, just by way of history, is what has happened is the state had imposed the 911 wireless surcharge at, I believe, $1.20 a month, and the county, of course, has a 30-cent per month surcharge that we have on wireless devices, which has been an increasing pot, which has so far offset the losses that we've seen on the landline surcharge. The intention, of course, that the state had was that we would have built a statewide wireless radio network. And the state was talking to us all through this process and expecting that they would marry with our system and other modern systems throughout the state. That statewide wireless project collapsed. It's gone through, I think, four different directors in the last 2 years. There's no set direction as to where it's headed at this point. In the state budget last spring, last March and April, they changed the 911 wireless surcharge to a public safety communications fee, still being collected with the purposes of building out some kind of a statewide radio system. The state has continued to say that they now want to work with us to build regional systems and build upon infrastructure. Real novel idea is what we were pitching 5 years ago. And consequently, I think that the state will recognize and will have to support the build out of these systems. They can't expect that we're going to build a system for them and not have some benefit. The good news is we have the capacity and could easily expand our system. As I said, I think the short answer is yes, that discussion will take place, but in the context of the state budgetary situations right now, I think it's going to be it's going to be a long, drawn-out battle. I think ultimately we will see that, but probably not until they get past the deficit problems they've got right now.
It might take the whole 10 years of this. I think it ought to be made clear, too, is we're talking about an increase in an existing fee.
Correct.
It's not adding a whole dollar to this. It's that we're going up to a dollar.
That's correct. From 35 cents.
From 35 cents.
65 cents.
And I'll just mention, New York City has been at a dollar for many years. Onondaga County is also in the same boat. They're in the midst of building out a system very similar to what we have right now, and for the same purposes have asked for the same legislation. There will be other counties that follow this suit.
Onondaga. Do you have anything to do with that one?
I've got Dooley next, then Martha, then Greg.
I remembered why I raised my hand before.
Sure.
The resolution that we're about to vote on includes this information, but I would like to see it in the local law too, namely that the 35 cents that we're presently at was established by Local Law 7 of 1993. So it's been there for quite a while. And I'd like that information to be added parenthetically in Section 1 of the local law right after it says 35 cents. And I consulted with our attorney, and he says that is not a problem.
So just returning to your local law filing page, literally after the word cents,
yes.
Parentheses?
Yes.
Okay.
What do you want to say again? What is that supposed to
parenthesis,
say?
Parenthesis, established by Local Law 7 of 1993, in paren.
On to, what's that?
Separate.
Let's see, who moved it? Martha moved it, and Jim, so it's friendly to both of you?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Martha's next.
Well, if you wait long enough, everybody will say what you had in mind to say. So.
Yeah, we'll be at 7 o'clock, your key worry.
I would point out that anybody who's really worried about phone charges, they're already paying $1.50 a month on their cell phone, and that's 30 cents to counties and $1.20 to the state. I talked to Jonathan just before this meeting. I also have just a tiny wording change in Section 110-7. All suppliers of local telephone exchange access lines shall begin to add the dollar per month surcharge. I would like that to say begin to charge the dollar per month surcharge. It's a little ambiguous. Are you adding a dollar to the 35 cents? I think it's clear if you just say charge.
Take out the word add and put in the word charge.
So Jonathan said that would also be fine.
That's not significant.
Okay.
That's okay for the seconder, Jim? Okay. Anything else, Martha?
Yeah, well, actually, the Public Safety Committee of NYSAC spent quite a bit of time talking about this in September when I was at that meeting. And, yeah, there's, and I think Lee's very involved in that effort to try to really change the state's mind on how to go about this. So we're in a really good position to be part of that whole network. But boy, we have a long list of things we're asking the state to do, and we can't wait for that.
Remember when Dick Booth used to challenge Steve Witcher on, will this really happen?
Yeah.
A long time ago. I have Greg Stevenson next, then Frank.
I think I said before that this resolution, or supporting this resolution, was a bit of a bitter pill to swallow for me. I still think it's that same bitter pill, although it is better than putting this revenue generation on the real property tax. I'm surprised Frank hasn't brought his phone bill in once in a while instead of his NYSAC bill. I looked at my phone bill and we have a per call setup of some sort. And I made one call last month, but my phone bill was $27, and half of it was taxes and fees or thereabouts.
How much was the universal fund?
As much as we're adding on here, as onerous as that may be, really the problem's already there. We're not creating the problem. We may be adding to it a little bit, but we're not creating the problem. But the one thing that I really thought about while I was listening to everybody talk is, if you are really the most effective legislator, Frank, haven't you gotten us $1 billion out of that universal fund already?
Oh.
We ought to really see something for you to hang on to that flag.
Well, I think we're ready to move on to a vote.
Yeah, it was my turn. But you know, both Schumer and Hinchey are up next year, so it's not over yet, man. Joe, in reading this, where does it say there's a 10-year sunset? Is it buried in here somewhere?
It's in the state authorizing legislation.
Okay. Do we refer to that state authorizing legislation anywhere in here? Maybe Martha, is that?
Well, it was, I was looking for it, and I must have recycled to the document. The resolution that we passed to get to the public hearing and so the committee discussed included the language about the sunset, included the conversation about exemptions and that sort of thing. And Jonathan also told me that all that doesn't have to be in what we're looking at today. It's all
just reference. All right. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, ready to vote on Resolution E with those small changes? All in favor? And opposed? One, two. It passes with two opposed. Thank you very much, Martha.
That's all for report.
Moving on to Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, Leslie Dean Claiborne, Chair.
WDSC met on October 28th. We had a very informative presentation. You had a precursor at the budget meeting from the Director of the Human Rights Office, Sean Martin Moore, on the Americans with Disabilities Act Amendment Act of 2008. Which essentially gave us more information about what the amendments are and the liabilities that we have and what our responsibilities are in making sure that we are following the law. It was very good, and I would encourage hopefully some point that we can all get that presentation. We have begun some work on a climate survey for our county, and that was one of the things we're discussing, so that we have a sense of where we are, what's going on for us, because it's been a while since we've had one of those done. If at all, I don't remember. So that's one of the things we are working on, as well as the overall county diversity plan. We continue to do work with the CEPA program and the Civil Service Reform Project. We have a meeting coming up on December 2nd, where the students who have been working on this from CEPA will be giving us an update on where things are. The committees will be reporting out, so you'll get more information on that as we get closer to the date. And that's my report.
Any questions for Leslie? Carol Chalk?
I have a question about whether the committee has talked about, or whether you know if there is any diversity training that is done for the inspection, the people who sit at the tables at the polls, the, not poll watchers, inspection, what?
Election.
No, we have not. That's a question we can ask the elections commissioners if they've had that kind of training. But we have not talked about it at the committee.
It might be worth talking.
Thanks. I'm curious to hear why.
Thank you. If there's no further questions, move on to Legislative Rules and Procedures Committee. Julie Kiefer, Chair.
Our next meeting is November 16th, but on the agenda tonight is Resolution F, amending rules of the legislature, Rules 1, meetings, Rule 2, quorum, and Rule 3, call to order. And I'd like to move that resolution.
To second, Mike Henry. Is there discussion? Martha Robertson.
Thank you. I talked to Julie this afternoon about a couple questions I have, and as a result, I want to make a couple tiny, couple small changes and then ask a question on a third. The second page of this, under Section 2, Regular Meetings, the issue of the employees, if there's a holiday for the employees, and then the legislature will meet on the following day at 5:30. Seems to me, following date at 5:30, seems to me just in case there's something that's on a Friday and then there's a holiday, it should say business day, I think, would be more appropriate, if that's okay.
It's fine.
Dead friendly, okay.
Okay, on the same page, at the first paragraph, when it talks about the county clerk shall appoint a member of the legislature as chair who shall serve until the end of the calendar year in which that person is appointed. Since the organizational meeting is sometime in the first week of January, it seems to me that leaves this gap that's at best kind of unclear. So I wondered if it could use the same phrase there that's used in the middle of that paragraph. In other words, to say who shall serve for the unexpired or the remainder of the unexpired term of the previous chair. Just so it's clear, it goes all the way through.
That seems fine.
Is that friendly, Mike? Do people know where Martha's referring to?
Yeah, can you state that again?
Okay, this top paragraph on the top of the second page, in the case of a vacancy?
Yes.
So that last sentence should say, in the event, I'll read the whole thing. In the event of the failure of the legislature to elect such chair within 30 days after the vacancy shall have occurred, the county clerk shall appoint a member of the legislature as chair who shall serve for the remainder of the unexpired term of the previous chair.
Is that friendly, Michael? Okay.
And then finally, in the case of the vacancy, it doesn't say anywhere that the vice chair shall serve temporarily. Is it?
Not under that one.
Well, not here. Well, unless you can show it. I don't.
On the bottom of page 1, that paragraph, the duties of the vice chair. I think it's implicit in that.
Well, it's true, it's implicit. But I thought it might be just worth stating the vice chair shall temporarily serve as chair and in front of where the clerk of the legislature shall call a meeting. So, and I'm not passionate about this, but I thought that would be clear.
That does seem a little superfluous to me. I think we all expect the vice chair to take over.
Okay, so that's not in there. People noting that's not in there. On to Will. I think you had your hand up.
I did. Thanks, Michael. Same page, special meetings.
This is page 2?
This would be page 2, yes. I would like to insert something that when we're setting a special meeting, there would be at least some attempt to schedule those meetings at a time that basically works for the most number of people. So I'm going to propose some language. Down the next to last sentence, where it currently says, whenever possible, the clerk shall give 1 week's notice at meeting, I would add, whenever possible, the clerk shall survey legislators as to their availability and set the date and time to minimize conflicts in their schedules. And shall give 1 week's notice of said meeting.
Did you start that sentence with whenever possible?
Yes. Okay. So I realize that, Mike, there may be times where you just have to do it.
Okay, as long as it gives the clerk leeway to make those tweaks.
That
seems sensible. Thank you.
I would only,
I didn't get the language, but I'm sure.
Before I call on Leslin, I wanted to ask Will, the wording you read, does that lock in the clerk to only the options that are best for that after the survey? The way you read it led to possibly only one.
My intent is to get the maximal number of people at that meeting. So that should be, I believe, the goal, and to minimize conflicts. So special meetings are not something that we have planned. Many of us have other work family obligations. So as a first step, whenever possible, they should survey members and as to their availability and set the date and time to minimize conflicts. You know, I'm leaving it wide open in terms of interpretation stuff.
Well, whenever possible, the clerk shall survey legislators as to their availability, and the date shall be chosen to maximize attendance.
That works as well. That's simpler, even. Yeah.
Okay, and on to Leslin.
I have a couple of things on the same page.
I'm sorry, before we leave that, could I
go ahead
and react to that? I appreciate Will's intent. I think that whenever, I don't usually do this, whenever possible is in the wrong place. I think the clerk shall survey and whenever possible set the date and time. In other words, it's not...
No, the present wording. Present wording also refers to 1 week's notice, because 1 week's notice is not always possible either.
Okay. But whatever the notice is, my hope is that the clerk will survey people and at least try to get...
I would support it if it's on the front so that it gives leeway to the clerk. If they can't survey, then it's whenever possible.
Okay.
On to Leslin, then I have Carol.
Martha brought up the following business date, and I'm taking it, I'm trying to understand what that means. That means the absolute next day, next business date?
Yes, so it wouldn't require a meeting on a Saturday or Sunday.
Thank you very much.
I think that's what Martha meant.
And on their quorum, the second graph on that page.
Quorum?
I just have a question, second line from the bottom. The legislature may impose such penalty as is deemed proper. No. For each absence deemed necessary. I just need clarification about who does the deeming and what constitutes necessary.
This is a whole lot more clear than it was before.
Anyone from the committee want to try to explain who does the deeming?
Well, the deeming used to be totally the hands of the chair, but it was never really followed. And so instead of trying to force us back into what has been on paper for a long time, the majority of the committee preferred that we have language that is less clear, but doesn't require the chair to do this. And I don't know really how to explain this.
Mike Hattery?
Well, it's kind of compromised language, because the previous language refers to the chair having a lot of authority to let you come to meet, to excuse you from meetings or not excuse you from meetings.
Right.
And I think as Dooley politely said, the majority of the committee said, that's just not our practice, and I can't see us going back to that, where the members of the legislature viewed the chair as having that kind of authority to excuse or not excuse you from meetings. So we left in this sanction that, you know, if somebody is really just becoming abusive, the legislature has the power to levy. I think it says there the legislature, not the chair.
To fine.
Yeah, to fine.
But not to excuse.
Okay, I have a list. If you hold that question, on that same point?
Yes, yes. So, right. So they would take a resolution of the whole legislature to sanction the committee. Is that clear from the language, do you think?
No, it says legislature.
The legislature is the deeming. Leslie, does that answer your question?
We can move on.
Okay.
Well, not necessarily, but we can move on. I understand the sanction part and the legislature making the sanction, but I still am not clear on that other part, but let's move on.
Okay, Carol?
If there are other people who want to comment on this,
I think we're done with that.
Because I'm going to go on.
We're done with that little do loop onto your.
Okay. I put some wording in your folders, or Kathy and Karen nicely put some wording that I was suggesting in your folders. This has to do with email notice of special meetings. This is on the second page, section 3. The notice about a special meeting, under the wording that was in the resolution here, allows us to just get an email, or an email to be sent out, without ever really knowing whether people received that email. And while I would really like that technology to be there where you would know, and there are some email systems that allow a return receipt, not all of them have that. And not all of us have access to computers all of the time. So I was looking for wording that would essentially say that our clerks now have a wonderful practice of making sure we all receive word. But going into the future, I wanted to make sure that if the sole notification that we get is by email, that checking needs to be done, that we're all asked to respond and say we got the email, but any of us who don't, that the clerk would be checking and make sure and would have to follow up with a phone call, at least leave a message on a phone or something to know that we got it. So what the substitute wording that I was going to add is after the line that's already in there, that legislators are encouraged to respond and acknowledge receipt, it would add, however, if sole notification is by email, the clerk shall follow up with a phone call at least 24 hours before the meeting to those legislators who have not acknowledged receipt of email.
That's a proposed wording change. Dooley and Mike, do you accept that as friendly?
Can I ask, before I say whether it's friendly or not, if it's not putting you on the spot, Kathy, would you mind responding whether that would be what you think about that stipulation?
I don't oppose it. It's what I do now. So okay. If I don't receive a response from an email, I'll follow up with a phone call.
Friendly to me.
Friendly to Dooley?
Well, the concept is friendly.
The concept and the wording?
Well,
we have to wait for a decision.
Well, I don't think the word however is necessary. I think it can just refer to email. That's all.
Without the word however. Carol, are you fine without the word however?
Yeah, I'm okay. I just do want to stress that the legislators are encouraged to respond and acknowledge receipt. I think it's great that you can just send off an email to 15 people.
Is that a yes or no answer?
Mike Gattery is okay with the word however being out. That is now incorporated into the body of the rule. And on to...
Wait, I haven't decided yet whether, as the proposer, that I hadn't... The word however,
I thought I heard a yes.
Is
the word however coming out as the mover?
Well,
maybe the clerk can call her.
Can I just say, is there an understanding that we do understand that we all need to take responsibility to get back to our clerk when she emails us?
Yes, I think there's an understanding. So you've agreed the word however is out. Okay, everyone knows that's to any further comment before we vote? I had Martha on my list, but maybe you've already spoken.
Yes, I'm fine. And actually, I appreciate this addition. That's great.
Okay, Frank Cotto.
I want to ask Kathy a question. Kathy, do you have a copy of this proposed change on the email?
Yes.
The one we have. Is there ever a circumstance where the sole notification will be by email? The word sole bothers me because there are other means of communicating, and as Carol has already said, some of us don't have access to a computer throughout the day. We don't sit in front of it at every minute of the day. Is there ever an instance where that would be the only way you would communicate with us?
If I received responses from all legislators before my deadline of trying to contact you another way, yes. If I have 1 week's notice for calling a special meeting, this may be the only method.
So you would not have, under those conditions, you would not have tried to reach us any other way?
If you have responded by email, no.
On to Martha.
I think what Kathy's saying is that there's, you know, if it's a week ahead of time, you send out an email, you haven't heard back in a couple days, you call us, if we come in the door, you'll say, did you get the email yet? Yeah. I mean, there's, if you notice above this, the clerk shall mail or email or serve personally upon each member or notify personally by phone. So there are all these ways of contacting, and so the concern here is that in case there's sort of a short time period, you know, the minimum being 48 hours, you know, a 48-hour email sent out, the clerk is directed not to rely on that email to know that everybody got it. I think that's the point.
I think we're ready to vote with these wording changes. This is Resolution F, amending the rules. All in favor? And is there anyone opposed? It passes with two opposed.
I want to thank you all for finally reading these and coming with helpful comments. It would be even better if we got those comments while we were considering them as a committee. And so I encourage you to read Rule 4, Rule 5, the things we're working on now, and get comments to us in time for our November 16th meeting.
What will you be working on next?
Rule 4.
Rule 4 and 5. Thank
you.
Okay, just sequential.
Thank you, Dooley. Thank you to the committee for your good work. We're going to move on to Health and Human Services Committee. Frank Proto, Chair.
My report will take about 3/4 of an hour, so I'm not sure we may want to adjourn.
Okay. No.
The next meeting of the Health and Human Services Committee is Tuesday, November 10th. We're putting the agenda together now. But I do want to mention that there was a discussion regarding the contingency fund request from the Ithaca Area Child Care. Did I get that
Ithaca
right?
Ithaca Area Council of Churches.
Council of Churches dealing with they deal with child care in the community. The status of that is it's on hold at the moment, pending receipt and a review by the special team that I've asked, or the committee asked, review it, and that meeting is being set up. We hope to have a report perhaps at the committee meeting next week, but that's why we're holding it up, because there's some data that we've requested that has not been received. And you heard Alice, I'm sure, this morning on the WHCU reporting on the status of the H1N1 in the community, so I'm sure none of you need that update. But come next Tuesday at 3:30.
Any questions for Frank? We'll move on to our minutes of our previous meeting. We'd like to move October 6th and 20th. Frank moves them. Martha seconds. Martha.
I have one correction on October 20th, and it may very well be my fault. about how I stated something. So it's page 14 in the public safety report.
Which one, Mark?
October
20. Page 14.
It's related to the issue of the change in juvenile status, the age of juvenile and adult status and criminal. And I checked this with Susie Cook. I wanted to make sure that it's clear. I'll read the correct. I got it wrong, or it's transcribed wrong, and whatever. The point is that this is sort of backwards. As
last paragraph you're on?
Last paragraph at the bottom. I'll just read it. As it should be. The committee received a report from Susan Cook at the county attorney's office on juvenile justice and was informed that state officials and agencies are seriously considering raising the age of juvenile status to 17 or 18. At the present time, someone aged 16 or 17 who commits a criminal offense is treated as an adult. So I thought that was substantive and and also...
Thank you for clarifying.
Okay.
That's not friendly.
I will give you the
one. Any further questions? Any clarifications? Are you ready to vote on the minutes? All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? That's unanimous. I think I can adjourn this meeting, but we will come back into this room at 7 o'clock, 10-minute break, for our public hearing on the budget. Not to ask for a vote. All in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Any opposed? That's unanimous. I'd like to call our public hearing on our 2010 amended tentative budget to order. We have some people signed up in advance. This is in the back. I believe you have some yellow sheets which actually summarize where we are on our present tentative budget. This is an opportunity for our citizens to weigh in. Jim, do you have a comment?
Yes, I do. On top of the sheet, it says a pub hearing on the budget November 6, 2009. This budget was advertised for November 4, 2009. That is an error. The 6 should be a 4. So this budget was officially advertised for this public hearing on November 4th.
We have two people who have signed up to speak in advance, but anyone else is certainly able and encouraged to speak. I have Amy Wood Gonzalez. Who is here to speak?
Do I need to do anything here with the mic?
I'm not hearing it.
Can you hear me okay?
No.
None
of them are on.
They're all off.
They're all off. Yeah, they're all off. Now they're off.
Okay.
I think it's on.
Yes,
I'll just raise
is.
My voice. My name's Amy Wood Gonzalez. I'm the president of the Ithaca Board of Realtors. And I speak today in opposition of two of your proposed tax increases in the amended budget. On the national and state level, there are several efforts being made to stimulate the housing market with the first-time homebuyer tax credit and other incentives. The housing market has a major and direct effect on the economy, and we strive to encourage homeownership here in Tompkins County. Tompkins County already increased the burden on home sellers in 2006 when they increased the transfer tax from $4 per thousand to $6 per thousand. Now there's a proposal for an additional tax on the buyers by increasing the mortgage recording tax by 0.25%. This will add an additional burden to those seeking a mortgage to purchase a home, whether it's their first home, second home, or an income property. In addition, those individuals that are refinancing their current home will be affected by this proposed increase as well. The proposed 3.97% increase in property taxes will affect all homeowners in the county. From a housing and tax perspective, Tompkins County already suffers from being one of the most expensive counties in upstate New York. In fact, a 2008 study ranking property taxes on owner-occupied housing as a percentage of home value, Tompkins County ranked the 25th highest in the country. We don't want to see even more people priced out of the local housing market and forced to move out of the county. We understand that this is a difficult year for everyone and that the budget process and financial decisions are very difficult for the legislature. We appreciate the work that's been done. However, we strongly urge you to reconsider these two proposed tax increases that directly impact our future and current property owners. Thank you.
Thank you. If you have a prepared statement, you can turn it in. We can make it part of the record if you'd like.
Sure.
Up to you.
And that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure you mentioned, but you are president of the Ithaca Board of Realtors, and you're speaking in that capacity?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you very much. I think we next have Gerard Cox.
I'm Gary Cox, better known as Gary. I'm an Ithaca resident, have been in and around resident for 25 years, and I speak tonight as a user of the library, probably like a lot of you who are users. I go there to get books, regular books, and books on, you know, discs with car trips. To check out music, DVDs, to read magazines that I can't afford to subscribe to read those enormous documents on two sources of the water supply for Ithaca, or what we ought to do about Ithaca Gun and the contamination there. I don't use the computers there, but a lot of people do. And in fact, one time when our computer crashed last winter, I was very glad the library had computers and running over there to get something done. I've gone to film screenings there, local films made by people around here, panel discussions. So I guess my point is, as a user, I use a library for a lot of different things, not just getting out books, though that's certainly a major part of it. I find the current situation a bit frustrating. 25 years ago, when I first came to Ithaca, used the old library, of course, I could pretty much count on finding whatever book I wanted there. I mean, I really thought their acquisitions program was terrific. You read a review of a book, you could go, and it was almost certainly there. And if you couldn't get your hands on it immediately, you could put your name in reserve and get it in a few weeks. Now, you know, the budget's been cut. They have fewer new acquisitions. It's most of the time I get disappointed when I look for a book, and I have to use interlibrary loan. I'm using that much more now, and I'm not sure how that works for their budget, but I can't imagine it's great. Even if the library has the book, however, if it's been checked out and returned, there's a delay I found in getting that book back on the shelf so you can go pick it up. If you've been in there, you've seen those shelving carts, tons of carts. And a lot of times, book I want's been checked back in. It's not on the shelf, and I start going through those carts. And if any of you have done the same thing, you know there are a lot of carts that don't seem to be arranged in any way discernible to an outsider, and you're liable to get frustrated more often than not. So I know this is a time of budgetary restraint, but as a user of the library, I would like to urge that if you can find any dollars for the library, I think it would be good to allocate them towards mechanics of getting books back on the shelves sooner. The obvious point is when they are acquiring fewer new books, you want to have those books available. To have fewer books and have them sitting on library carts doesn't help anybody. It's not the library's fault. It's a question of staffing. And I, for one, would like to see those books get back on the shelf quicker. As long as I'm up here very quickly, I'd also like to see the library open every day of the week, all year round, major holidays excepted. The Sunday hours, I think, have been a terrific success, particularly in winter weekends in Ithaca. Those who can't, like Ishmael, take off for sea and go on a whaling voyage often go to the library, and that's a great advantage. Hours are complicated, I know. You can't cut back on the libraries easily. I've been told, because of danger of losing state accreditation. I don't know what the solution is. But I would like to close by saying that I don't think all of us realize what a terrific public library Ithaca has, part of the Finger Lakes Library System. When I take out-of-town visitors to go see it, you know what they usually say? Wow. I'd like to see us do everything we can to keep that wow coming. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Is there anyone else who wishes to speak under the public hearing? Mike Lane.
Mike Lane from the Village of Dryden. I brought this up at the budget forum, and others earlier have spoken about your proposal for an increase in the mortgage tax. The problem I have watching you do this is the fact that it was already done. It was debated a few years back, and it was decided not to impose a mortgage tax, but instead to impose the deed transfer tax for the county. If you now impose a mortgage tax on top of the deed transfer tax, it's like a double whammy. None of the other counties have anything like that around us. Some of them have adopted a mortgage tax increase. It seems to me that if you're going to have one, you ought to reduce the other one or eliminate it. I realize you're looking for revenues, but I don't know if causing problems for and more expenses for first-time home buyers when we need to restart the housing market here in Tompkins County, if that's a good way to or a good signal to them to raise the mortgage tax. It hits young families hardest when they're trying to come up with the money to be able to mortgage a house. Thanks.
Thank you, Michael. Anyone else wish to speak under our public hearing time? Kathy?
Thank you. I just want to talk a little bit about last week in the budget, I think the week before, there was $10,000 put in for the agencies. And about a week ago, that $10,000 was removed very quickly without any discussion. It really wasn't a lot of money over about 17 agencies, but it was really sending a positive message that you cared about the increased demand in services, what they're all trying to do with fewer resources. And I think how quickly that left the budget was really demoralizing for the agency. So I would like to encourage you to reconsider that small little bit of encouragement of all those agencies out here. I appreciate how tough this has been. I think everybody's done a really good job. And I know there's a lot of demand for the few resources that we have. But, I'd really appreciate if you'd take another look at sending that positive messages to the agencies out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Anyone else wish to speak for our public hearing? I know that Susan Curry is here, our new library director. Do you want to introduce yourself, sir, Susan?
Hello. I've been on the job just 8 days, but I want to just say that every morning at 10 a.m. when that library opens, there's a rush of people who come into the building to use the books and the computers. And I'm not sure if everyone knows, but there was a recent national study done, a report that was released in September, which indicated that 71% of the nation's libraries, public libraries, provide the only internet access that many citizens receive.
And with so many things going digital, things like tax forms, the public library will be even more important for internet access for citizens. So thank you for your support. And we are your library as well, and so if you have research needs, I hope that you will come to us. Thank you.
Thank you, and welcome. Does anyone else wish to speak? If not, I will close the public hearing. We will consider these suggestions on our November 17th meeting. Thank you. And go Yankees.